Okay, thank you. I'll be talking about salt tolerance in some new alfalfa germplasm. This is the work of a graduate student, Indrajot Chahal, and also recognize my collaborators, Dan Putnam and Steve Groton from the University of California, Davis. So most of us know there's a pretty severe water shortage now in California. The agricultural demand is high, takes about 80% of the water. Certainly we have a large urban demand with major population centers and also the environmental demand as we try to restore some of our stream flows or natural river flows. This is a photograph of an almond grower who earlier this year took out about 10% of his trees. And he's in Westlands Water District, which they were on 0% allocation this year of surface water. And that might seem like a fairly severe action, but he wanted to ensure a reliable water source for the remaining trees. And it's likely that those were fairly mature trees getting towards the end of their productive life, but he did remove those trees. So agriculture actually has done quite a bit in terms of reducing its water consumption and increasing its water use efficiency. So we don't see much furrow irrigation anymore, maybe a little bit for some of the row crops. But most of the trees and vines and vegetables are on micro-irrigation. Orchard crops, primarily micro-sprinklers, a little bit of drip. Our vines, our grape is a huge crop, primarily drip irrigation. And then vegetables such as processing tomatoes on subsurface drip. So the reduced surface water deliveries in the last 3 years means that they're pumping a lot more groundwater, digging much deeper wells. And that means more saline water is going on the soils, and there is the potential for subsidence. In fact, they're measuring subsidence in some areas of the San Joaquin Valley. That prompted this conference at UC Davis in September, and it is a concern. There's going to be Wednesday afternoon a session for CCAs called When Water is More Valuable Than Land, and it's going to talk about the drought in California and some of the subsidence issues. So alfalfa takes up quite a bit of irrigation water because it's the crop with the largest acreage in California. It's not the highest value crop, but the largest acreage. And if you add together other forage crops, including some grains that are used for forage, it sums up to almost 40% of the water supply. So in the future, it's very likely that the higher quality irrigation water is going to be used for salt-sensitive tree crops, nut crops, almonds, grapes, and then citrus, and for vegetable crops, which are mostly salt-sensitive crops such as lettuce. And alfalfa and other forage and row crops will be grown using lower quality, i.e. more saline water for irrigation, and grown on lower quality soils. The seed companies, commercial seed companies, they've figured this out, and they've already been working on improving the salt tolerance of new varieties. So we got into this research to try to do some independent evaluations of some of that new germplasm. Alfalfa is cultivated on about 400,000 hectares in California, stretches from the far north, Shasta and Lassen counties, all the way down to Imperial Valley near the border of Mexico. And it is the most profitable forage crop. It supports a very large, valuable dairy industry in the state. It's a tetraploid, so there's a great potential for allelic variation and the chance to improve salt tolerance in new varieties. So our approach to salt tolerance testing, we try to use a salt composition that's characteristic of the production area, so not just sodium chloride, but also sodium sulfate. And in some of the areas where salinity is a problem, high boron in soil and irrigation water is also a problem. We use a soil system in the greenhouse, so usually a, say, 60-40 mix of soil and sand, and we try to collect the soil from the production area, and that mix generally preserves the characteristics of the soil. They're cracking clay soils, they generally have a tough surface crust, and that's preserved in the greenhouse mix that we're using. High transpiration conditions, we don't keep it too cool in the greenhouse, and then try to run an experiment that's about 6 months long in the field, usually 2-year field experiment, so that we you know, acknowledging the fact that salinity has a cumulative effect. This is the source water used for the research I'll be presenting. We collected it from a Cypress saline water from an irrigation sump from the Pinoche Water District, and it's saline sodic, so you can see high salinity and SAR, the alkaline water, pH 7.8, and this one's high in boron, and then we dilute that down to our treatment levels of salinity. So the overall objective was to determine the relative salt tolerance at the germination stage, emergence, and mature plant response. I'll just be presenting the mature plant response for 19 new alfalfa varieties grown under different levels of salinity in the greenhouse, and then we also have a field study, which I won't be reporting on today. And we also wanted to develop screening protocols closer to field conditions and identify some important selection criteria that the seed companies could use in their germplasm development, and then investigate some of the mechanisms of salt tolerance, such as sodium exclusion. So I'll just be reporting on phase three here, the mature plant response. And we used 19 varieties at four salinity levels. This is the salinity of the irrigation water. So we had a non-saline and then 5, 10, and 15 decisiemen per meter. It was a split plot design, three replications. And we used tree pots, which are very tall pots, and used a 60-40 mix of a clay loam soil to sand. The plants were cut about every 4 weeks, so that was seven cuts in what was actually a six-month experiment. So here's the experimental design. Salinity was the main plot factor, and then nested in salinity were the varieties. We duplicated one variety to get up to 20. So we used an automated irrigation system in which the drainage circulates back by gravity flow to the source tank, and we irrigate once a day. Here you see the non-saline alfalfa after it's been cut and it's just starting to grow back, and these are some of our saline treatments. And you see the tree pots in that slide as well. Just showing you the relative yield. This is a shoot over time, and pretty much the performance of the varieties was pretty consistent over the seven cuts, with the most tolerant ones remaining the most tolerant over the seven cuts, and the most sensitive remaining as the most sensitive through the entire experiment. As salinity researchers, we like to report relative yield, so that would be the yield of the saline treatments as a percentage of the non-saline check, and I don't have that data shown here. And so this is shoot relative yield. It's the sum, it's a cumulative relative yield, so it's the sum of cuts 1 to 7 compared to the non-saline check. And we identified a group of four varieties as being the top performers. I should say that we had two salt-tolerant checks and two salt-sensitive checks. These materials come from the University of Arizona, and they're used sort of nationwide, mostly in germination tests, as the tolerant and sensitive checks. So amongst the commercial varieties, we identified these four as being the best performers. And then we had a second group that had very good performance under saline irrigation. And that ranking is primarily based on the performance at the 15 decisiemen per meter irrigation water, but it pretty much matched the performance at 10 decisiemen per meter. Now, the breeders always want to see absolute yield as well, and so we worked up that data, and three of the top four performing varieties based on relative yield also had the highest absolute yields under saline condition. We did have one variety, however, that apparently is a lower yielding variety, so it ranks high in terms of salt tolerance, but its absolute yield under saline conditions is not as high as some of the others. And then amongst that next group of three good performing varieties, one of them also had high relative yield, and two others were lower yielding varieties that on an absolute yield basis don't rank quite as high. So just to show you the relative yield of shoots, over the irrigation water salinity, and somewhere between 5 and 10 is where yield dropped off quite rapidly. Now, because we don't have a point in between 5 and 10, we don't really know, you know, what that threshold 7, 8, or where it was. But by 10, we had pretty good separation, relative yields between 45 and 80%, and then they continued to decline as we increased the irrigation water to 15 decisiemen per meter. We also measured the dry matter of roots plus crowns, and for the most part, those top-performing varieties in terms of shoot relative yield also had the highest root relative yield. There was one exception. One of them ranked a little bit lower in terms of root biomass. And then similarly amongst those, that next group, two of the three, had pretty good root growth under saline condition or saline irrigation. Looking at iron accumulation in the shoots, we had pretty much the what you would expect from the literature, that our most tolerant varieties, they accumulated, they excluded sodium very well, had lower concentrations in the shoot, and then likewise, they maintain higher concentrations of potassium. I know there's a lot of numbers here, but if we focus on that group of top performers, at least two of the four varieties, S&W 84 and Forage Genetics 96, they had the lowest levels of sodium in the shoots, maintained higher potassium, and then the potassium to sodium ratio was maintained much better. Two of the other two in that top performing group accumulated a little bit more sodium, or they weren't as capable of excluding the sodium, and they also had a little bit lower potassium, as we see here and here. But they probably, their tolerance was based on some other mechanisms more related to combating the osmotic effects of salinity. The second group, which is shown in blue here, they pretty much had relatively low levels of sodium in the tissue, maintained higher potassium, and also maintained that potassium to sodium ratio. One of them ranked a little bit lower in that regard. So Rana Munns, I was talking to her when I was in Australia. She said, okay, do some correlations and look at the relationship between sodium in the tissue and how strong that relationship is with the relative yield. So we decided to keep the data separate, not combine it, because at 5, 10, and 15 decisiemen per meter, we have differences in the osmotic stress, not just the toxic ion stress. But at 5 decisiemen per meter, you can see the yields were well maintained from about 92 to 100%. When we got to 10 decisiemen per meter, here we had a pretty good correlation, 0.625, between the sodium concentration in the shoots and the relative yield. But for a given sodium concentration, say 1%, there was, you know, a fair amount of spread in the relative yield, suggesting that those osmotic responses to salinity are also important in the salinity tolerance of these alfalfa varieties. At 15 decisiemen per meter, we didn't have quite as good of a correlation between the sodium in the tissue and the relative yield, and at 15 decisiemen per meter, you have a stronger osmotic effect, so that might explain why the relationship was a little bit weaker. There was also, we did a similar analysis with the chloride, but I'm going to skip over that. So the conclusions from phase three, which was our mature plant response, out of the commercial varieties, we identified these four from Dairyland, Forage Genetics, and S&W Seeds. They were the top varieties based on shoot dry matter on a relative basis. And for the most part, it wasn't a perfect fit, but for the most part, they did maintain lower sodium and chloride. I didn't show you much of that data, and higher potassium in the shoots. And they pretty much had higher root dry matter production. The next group, shown here, they had the next best shoot dry matter yield, and also it seemed that these same characteristics, excluding the sodium from the shoots and maintaining the potassium, were important parts of that salt tolerance. So we basically found that there was considerable genetic variation in the materials that we tested. So the overall conclusions, production at or under-saline irrigation of 5 decisiemen per meter with insufficient pressure to reduce the performance or to separate these varieties, but we did observe a large yield loss between 5 and 10 decisiemen per meter ECW. And here Don and I are going to depart a little bit on our conclusions, but we kind of feel that the Moss-Hoffman yield loss threshold, which is for soil salinity, of 2.0 decisiemen per meter ECE appears to be too low. I didn't present the soil data, but we feel that the alfalfa is more salt tolerant than those rankings would suggest. And that makes sense because these are new varieties. Shoot sodium and potassium are good selection criteria of salt tolerance in alfalfa, but they don't tell the entire story. So, you know, it's not surprising tolerance to osmotic stress is probably also important, but we feel that the sodium and the potassium can be used as very good selection criteria. So future work, we just want to standardize some of these protocols to allow feed companies to test under conditions using mixed salt solutions and perhaps in soil or sand, soil-sand mix rather than greenhouse potting mix. Again, to make using a soil that's characteristic of the production area. Oops. And we're starting some new work looking at the effects of salinity on biological nitrogen fixation and how that influences the nitrogen fertilizer requirement of alfalfa under saline conditions. And just want to acknowledge some of the other graduate students, exchange students from Brazil, and industry folks who helped us with this research.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for our speaker? I think one of the significance of this is that China is really pushing to increase their dairy production, and they exported, and California exports a lot of alfalfa to China. So having these, a lot of the lands that alfalfa is being looked at in China are very marginal lands, very saline. So this will have a large impact on that for our breeders in the States, but also for the work that you're doing too.
That probably explains why my collaborator has been to China about 3 times in the last year and a half.
Yep, I'm really certain of that. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Do you have any comments on elevated potassium levels? You know, dry cows get no fever, high levels of potassium.
Well, actually, we didn't have high levels of potassium. I think we were a little bit low, even under our... if I could just skip up there. Oops, here it is, not that far. See, even under our 0.5, we were only at about, 1.2% on the potassium, and I think we should have been a little bit higher. So next experiment, we're increasing the potassium a little bit in the irrigation water.
Any follow-up questions?